The Moth Radio Hour has captured the hearts of public radio listeners everywhere. But before those true stories told live make it to the radio, they're told on a stage. The Moth is coming to Iowa City. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The Moth will be live on stage at the Englert Theater in Iowa City this Friday night. And this hour, we'll explore the magic of the Moth. Peter Aguero will be the host of Friday's event. He's also a Moth Grand Slam champion and instructor for the Moth Shop Community Education Program. He'll be here. Maggie Sino is director of the Moth. I'll talk with her. And also, I'll talk with Jim Bennett, one of the storytellers who'll be on stage on Friday night. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. For many Iowa Public Radio listeners, the Moth Radio Hour is appointment listening on Sunday afternoons at 2. But before those stories make it on the air, they are told live on a stage somewhere. And this week, the stage will be in Iowa City at the Englert Theater on Friday night. This hour, we will explore the magic of the Moth with Peter Aguero, who will be the host of Friday's event. Also, Maggie Sino, director of the Moth, will be joining us a little later. But first, Jim Bennett is here. He's one of the storytellers who will be on stage on Friday night. He's also the Midwest Regional Director of Lambda Legal and part of an online talk show called The Gay Agenda Live. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Happy to be here.
And you are not a professional storyteller or performer. And a little later in the hour, we'll talk about the many different ways that people can get involved in the Moth. But I want to hear your story. How did you first start telling stories with the Moth?
As a bit of an accident. I did a bike ride, one of the AIDS bike rides that goes from San Francisco to LA. And a friend I was staying with loved the Moth. And so when I got into LA, we went to the show and I threw my name literally in a hat you get themes. And so I think our theme was lies. And I told a story at that Moth. And so there's 10 different storytellers and you're scored. And I won that Moth. And then you go on to the Grand Slam Moth, which is 10 storyteller winners. And I'm trying to remember. I think our theme was fight or flight. And that was the story that I won the Grand Slam with and the one I'm bringing to Iowa on Friday.
Oh, wonderful. And so when you're involved in one of these slams, you don't go in knowing what story you might want to tell.
Well, you have a theme. So they give you a theme, I think, about a week before.
All right.
And so I sort of have ideas of where I want it to hit. But it's it has to be under 5 minutes, so you definitely want to have your beginning and end, and I don't think it does, at least in my opinion, doesn't do well if it's very rehearsed. You know, the stories, at least that when I listen to on the Moth, that I really gravitate towards are the ones that you feel like, you know, it's just you could tell it to one person and it would be just as awesome.
So when you got up there on the stage, had you ever done anything quite like that before?
I have done improv, but I've never done anything by myself. Like, the idea of stand-up absolutely terrifies me, and I can't, you know, my heart was certainly racing in this, too. But part of it, because it's a true story, and so all the Moth stories are true or supposed to be true, and it's yourself and your own tale, that makes it a little bit easier. It's something that... you know, my family are all good storytellers, but usually just to each other. So to be in front of 500 people and telling a story is a little daunting.
Sure. And so now the story that you're bringing to the stage on Friday night, and we have promised that we will not spoil this experience for people who are going to be there live, so we can't talk very much about it. But this is a story that you won a Moth Slam with. So you've had a lot of time and a lot of experience telling this story. Does that change it for you?
It does. I feel like every time you tell it, you know, something changes a little bit. This one will be significantly different than I told when I won, mainly because they've given me more time, and second, because I'm in Iowa and the story took place in Iowa over RAGBRAI, that there's details that I feel like I can skip from the story when I told it, because it would be shocking to think of anyone in Iowa City that doesn't know what RAGBRAI is. And then there's also details that are so Iowan that I'm able to go into that, which I didn't before.
Have you spent much time in Iowa? I know this will be a RAGBRAI story, but do you have other Iowa connections? You're in Chicago now.
I have spent a ton of time in Iowa. So I grew up in Springfield, Illinois, and our neighbor was Paul Simon, the senator who has since passed. And so when he ran for president, our parents made us campaign for him. So I learned firsthand about the caucuses. I never really quite grasped what it was like to go house to house campaigning for someone where they're in farms and you have to, you know, run in the winter. You know, it felt like a half a mile from house to house. And then when we introduced the marriage lawsuit in Iowa, which goes back almost till I think 2004 or 5 when we began the work on it, we did tons of town halls all across Iowa, and so I really got to know the state, and we worked a lot with One Iowa, which is a great equality group there in the state, to sort of prepare people for marriage equality being awesome in the Hawkeye State. And so I've been telling a lot of stories in Iowa over the last few years.
So does it feel different to know that you're talking to an Iowan audience specifically?
It does. I mean, because Iowans are very smart, and they don't, you know, only in Iowa could every person have access to every single candidate running for president. And when we would talk to people from Lambda, and we were trying to talk about marriage equality and hoping certain candidates, you know, would support marriage or at least keep quiet if they weren't quite there yet, we would have just, you know, everyday Iowan citizens that would tell us, well, when I talk to Hillary, because she calls me regularly, or when I talk to Barack. And so it was sort of shocking, like to have people that have such a incredible access. And they're also Iowans can see through things that aren't true. Like one of the things that made it easy to do our marriage lawsuit, or not easy, but helped us, was we don't have a lot of money to convince people. So we just have to tell our stories and, you know, about marriage and help people connect. But we don't need a big money campaign in Iowa, because Iowans were used to seeing when politicians come in with money and it doesn't convince them. They have to talk to people directly and know the facts. And so I'm really excited to tell the story. I had been pushing the Moth to do something in Iowa, or let me come to Iowa. So I am thrilled.
How much performing have you been doing with the Moth since you won your Grand Slam?
I have gone. They have this partnership with New Belgian Beer that sponsors this festival called Tour de Fat, and it's this odd convergence between bicycling and beer, and it's a really fun family friendly event. And there's all these sort of almost burlesque type acts, and so Moth comes in and does an hour of stories. And the first one I did, I think, was out in Colorado, and we were terrified because it was like there were these, you know, wild sort of acts that were going on all day, and then we were going to come in and bring the house down a little bit with these stories, and, you know, in a big lawn with hundreds of people. And people really were wonderful. I mean, the story, I think the Moth is incredible at sort of finding these amazing, really ordinary people with amazing stories or stories to tell. And so I've gone to, I think, two or three of these events. And then this is my first time to do sort of a Moth specific event. So I am super excited.
Well, and I mentioned that you're part of this online talk show, The Gay Agenda Live. And so this is not the only performance outlet that you have, but how do you think becoming a Moth performer has changed your life?
Well, you know, it certainly has helped me pay attention to the details when something sort of funny or interesting happens, because I do find that you know, everyone sort of has like their story of their crazy families. But when what I find the beauty of it is when you get into the specifics. And like, for example, I have a brother who has Asperger's, and there's some really hilarious things. He's a very smart guy, and he does he has these sort of interesting little habits. And when I would share them, they don't seem special or extraordinary to me, but it would get a laugh, and I'm like, and it would get a laugh because it was recognition. People, you know, everyone has people with these sort of interesting quirks or eccentricities in their family, and so I feel like I look for those things or notice them more. And it's also made me probably a better listener, because you'll meet people, especially the people I've met in the mosque, and they're really from all walks of life and all economic backgrounds. And to hear their stories and people that share such personal sort of epiphanies or things that have happened to them, it's been really incredible, and it's certainly helped with our Gay Agenda project, because that project is really, we see it as sort of like The View, but gayer, and we really just bring our personalities to it. And so I think instead of trying to force something to be funny, as long as it's true and it's rooted in your own personal experience, people are interested in it.
You know, a lot of us have those one or two great stories from our lives that we tell a lot. Like, you know, the funniest wedding toast
right.
is one of my favorites. You know, everybody has a couple that they go to on a regular basis. Has this experience changed your idea of what a great story can be?
It has. Well, and the story that I'll be telling on Friday, it really began as a fight between my partner and I. And so he's had quite a laugh about this, because he's like, boy, if you wouldn't have done what I had wanted to do, where would you have gone? You know, I gave you this incredible story. I agree. I think there's funny moments all through life. And sometimes in some of the hardest times is when you find the humor. I think you're exactly right. Although I probably do have those one or two stories that everyone has heard more than enough from myself.
Oh, I'm sure they're good. I'm sure they're good, Jim. Thank you so much for talking with me today. I know you have to get back to work.
Yeah, I'm in trial. So I'm on a jury. So I have to stay very quiet and be attentive. So I'm working on my listening skills this week.
All right, wonderful. And then we will come and listen to you on Friday night.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Jim Bennett
Alrighty.
Will be one of the storytellers on stage on Friday night. He's also the Midwest Regional Director of Lambda Legal, and he's part of an online talk show called The Gay Agenda Live. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Peter Aguero. He is the host of Friday's Moth event in Iowa City. He's also a Moth Grand Slam champion and instructor for the Moth Shop Community Education Program. We'll talk more about that in a moment, and I'll also be talking with Margaret Sino. She is the director of The Moth. Again, The Moth is coming to Iowa City on Friday night on stage at the Englert Theater. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about The Moth. The Moth Radio Hour is familiar to public radio listeners everywhere. And, of course, it's on Iowa Public Radio Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. And now The Moth is coming live to Iowa. It will be on stage at the Englert Theater on Friday night in Iowa City. And all of those stories that we hear on the radio show are recorded at one of these performances, storytellers on stage live telling their true stories without a script. With me now is Peter Aguero. He is going to be the host of Friday's event. He's also a Moth Grand Slam champion and instructor for the Moth Shop Community Education Program. Hello, Peter.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Maggie Sino is also here. She is director of the Moth. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. And before we get into our conversation, I want to play a little bit from one of Peter's stories. And this is a story, Peter, that you told about taking your wife to the hospital. This is a story called Me and Her and It. It's about your wife's struggle with epilepsy. And we'll play just a couple of minutes of this story.
The reason why she's in the hospital is because we've had enough.
the latest seizure that she'd had had taken place in the shower, and I was home with her in the other room, and I heard a big crash, and I said, "Baby, you all right?" And I didn't hear anything, so I ran into the bathroom, and she was face down in 4 inches of water having a seizure, and her back was cut open because she fell and hit the faucet so hard that she bent the steel pipe. And she was just in a rictus, and she went down like a ton of bricks, and I picked her up out of the tub, which was hard because she was wet and naked and shaking, and I pulled her into the bedroom, and I laid her down on the floor, and I held her on her side, which is what you're supposed to do when someone has a seizure. You don't put your wallet in their mouth. Everything gets, like, tight. All the muscles are tight, and she's like marble, and her eyes roll back into her head, and her jaw clenches so hard you can hear the teeth grinding. And I hold her on her side like I saw my mother do with my baby sister when she was growing up, when she had seizures. And I do what my mother did, and I hold Sarah, and I say, "You're a good girl. Everything's okay. You're safe. I'm here. You're a good girl. You're safe. Everything's okay." And then after the seizure stops, it lasts for about 2 minutes. Now it's the worst part. It's called the post-ictal state. And for about 30 minutes, she's like a computer rebooting. She starts to come back online, and the color comes back in her eyes, and her lips are blue because she's unconscious. But for those minutes in between when the seizure's done until she starts to come back, she is a dead bag of meat. And every single time, I'm convinced that this is it, and I'm never going to see her again. That wherever she goes when she has the seizure, she's never going to come back. Every time. I know it.
That's just a little bit of a story told by Peter Aguero. The story is called Me and Her and It. It recounts his wife's struggle with epilepsy. And you can, I know you probably want to hear the rest of the story. We did put up a link to the story on our Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page after the show is over, you can listen to the rest of that story. And Peter, just a few minutes ago, I was talking with Jim Bennett about how he got involved in the Moth. And I know you have a colorful resume in your past. How did you first get involved with the Moth?
Well, it was fairly similar to Jim's experience. The Story Slam program in New York, at the time there were two shows a month, and I went to one at the Bitter End in Greenwich Village. And same thing, I put my name in the hat, I got picked, and I told a story, and it was terrible. It didn't make any sense, but it was something about the experience kind of grabbed hold of me, and I started going to every show for about a year and a half. So twice a month, and eventually three times a month when more slams started happening, I just would prepare new stories, and I'd always go. And even if I didn't get picked, I would, at least prepare a new story, and I would also be able to hear 10 stories in a night. And it started to get me thinking about what is the power of stories, and what makes a story work and what makes a story not work. And, eventually I started volunteering for the Moth Shop Community Education Program, and eventually the Moth hired me to become an instructor. It's been just as, for me as a performer, I have a varied background in performing. It's been just a blessing for me to find a home and a place to tell stories and express myself in that way. It's been fantastic.
Can you describe, now that you've had a lot of time to think about it, can you describe what it was about that experience that really got you hooked? Do you know?
Well, everything I'd done in the past, I'd done a lot of stage acting and some, like Jim, some improv and comedy and other things, and it was always, you were always playing a character. You were never yourself. And while that's fun, and certainly there's great benefit to playing characters, I don't know, there was nothing that was just me talking to an audience. And when I started telling stories with the moth, it was, that's what it was. There was no barrier between the story and the audience. You were just directly delivering this to people. And what I saw was you would see the audience nodding in recognition at things that happened to you. So it just opened up this whole idea in my head of how universal things were. And, you know, you tell the story specifically, you know, I've told the story about, my wife and I and our experiences with her epilepsy. And whenever I tell the story, people will come up to me and say, you know, that's this, my daughter has epilepsy, or my son has epilepsy, or my spouse or someone they love. And we always felt like we were alone. And now we know we're not alone. Someone else is dealing with this too. And I mean, any story can do that. It can make people really feel like part of a community in the moment. And it's, I've never seen or had been a part of another kind of form of artistic expression that allows that to happen with the immediacy that the moth does, the power of recognition that goes from the storyteller to the audience and back is just, it's entrancing.
That power, when you make that connection, I can understand how that would be an amazing feeling. But
it's a catharsis, yeah.
Right. Not everybody does make that connection, and that sounds terrifying, standing up on stage and exposing your innermost thoughts or experiences and not making the connection. Is there a lot of fear and adrenaline that goes along with this too?
You know, there could be, because, I mean, you really have to do it correctly, you have to show your vulnerability. And that in human nature, you know, we hide our vulnerability to protect ourselves. But, you know, I firmly believe that it's not up to the storyteller to worry about the connection they're making. You might not know about it. There might be one person in the audience that has a connection to your experience. And it's worth it for that one person. You know, I think it's the story already happened, you know, and it's our job as storytellers to just tell it and not to be a judge of whether it's good or has the worth to be able to be told. It's just, you just tell it. And, you know, it can be daunting if you're up there and you don't feel like you're making any kind of headway in the story or people aren't getting it, but there's always someone that is, as long as you're telling the truth, you know, as long as you're telling the your emotional truth of the story, then it's absolutely worth that fear. Anything that is easy is almost not worth doing. It's better to get up and do something really hard for the chance of that benefit to happen. And the moth definitely fits in that category.
You know, I normally hear these stories just off the radio or in the podcast. And to prepare for this show, I've been watching some videos. And one of the interesting things that doesn't come across as much on the radio, but you can see in the videos, is how nervous people are often when they start. Even some of the professional actors who come on and tell stories, like Terry Garr or Sam Shepard.
Sure.
And Maggie, you can chime in here as well.
Yeah.
Do people talk about the difference? Because I'm sure that these are people who don't typically get nervous when they get up on stage and perform in a play.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to just speak to what you guys were just talking about, which is the whole, you know, idea of the making a connection or not making a connection. And one thing that I've observed, and Peter, I'm interested to hear if you feel the same thing, is that the way that people don't connect is when they're trying to protect themselves,
yeah.
When they're not actually putting themselves on the line. That's the only time I've ever seen stories fall flat, when somebody gets up there and is like, no, I want to be cool. I want you to like think good things about me. So I'm going to kind of hold back a little bit and not really give my all. That's when things flatten out. Time and time again, I've seen people, like you said, go up there and be so scared. And as long as they actually put their heart out there and open up and melt open a little bit, the audience rises to meet them. I mean, it's an incredible thing to just watch time and time again. And, you know, and it's terrifying because of exactly what you said, because there is this fear of like, oh my God, I am going to put my heart out there and maybe no one will see it or no one will respond or no one will feel the connection. But, when they do it, when really people take risks emotionally, the rewards are incredible and the response to it is incredible.
Maggie, can you take us back in time a little bit? The show, the radio show has been on the air since 2009, but how did The Moth itself get started?
Yeah, The Moth got started about 16 years ago now. And how the story goes, Peter actually also, I think, can tell the story really well, is
apocryphal, amazing George story.
Dark, huh?
It's like an apocryphal story at this point.
Yeah. You want to tell it?
I bet we could go back and forth.
Do a little tag team. So George Jaws Green, our founder, grew up in Georgia and spent a lot of time hanging out. He had a close friend down in Georgia named Wanda, and people would just gather nightly at her house. She just had one of those houses that people like to be in, and they would tell stories late into the night on the porch, you know, drinking bourbon and just entertaining each other and telling each other, you know, what had happened in their lives. And then he moved to New York City and started making some new friends, and then just really felt the pressure of the city happen, that everybody's in these tiny apartments and nobody seems to have time to listen and everybody's kind of giving their little soundbite and running away. And he thought, wouldn't it be amazing if there was a place where people could go and had an opportunity to just tell a story, and the people who came just were there to listen. And so he started The Moth, and it started in his apartment, and our apartments are very small in New York City, so soon it grew to small public venues, and then it's just been growing at a really fast clip for the last 15 years. And that need to, you know, tell your story and have some space to really, you know, share something that's close to your heart, and the need to listen to it, you know, just is, you know, is really powerful and is everywhere. I mean, I think the thing about the Slam series that's amazing is, like, you know, 400 people show up and, you know, 30 of them drop their name in the hat, but, like, you know, 350 of them are just there to listen. So
Let's take a pause and listen to a little bit of another story. This one is told by storyteller Faye Lane, and it's just a couple of minutes of a story called Green Bean Queen.
Fatty, fatty, 2x4, couldn't get through the bathroom door. When I was in the third grade, I heard that song just about every single day, and it almost broke my heart, because what I wanted more than anything in the whole world was to be a beauty queen. See, I grew up in my mother's beauty shop in Texas, this old A-frame house with big mirrors and swivel chairs in the front room and shampoo bowls in the old back bedroom. But no matter how bad the teasing got, the beauty shop ladies could always make me feel better. Well, I like teasing. Your mama's teasing my hair right now. In fact, if it wasn't for teasing, my hair would be just as flat as a pancake. Baby, don't you listen to those horrible children. They're just jealous. You're not one bit fat. You're just voluptuous. And you can sing like a little bird. Can they sing? I bet they can't sing. Sometimes after school, I would sit on the porch in this glittered up Burger King crown, pretending like I was a beauty queen sitting up in a convertible in a parade. And sometimes I would practice my beauty queen acceptance speech. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You know, when I was just a little fat child, y'all made fun of me, but I forgive you, for in the words of Jesus Christ, to who I dedicate this crown, y'all knew not what y'all did.
It's a little bit of Green Bean Queen told by Faye Lane. And we were talking about those Moth story slams that people go to and how there's a topic and they need to tell a story if they get picked that fits the topic. Maggie, where did the topics come from for the slams?
The topics come mostly from our artistic and curatorial team. You know, Jen Hickson, who runs the Slam series, And I also want to clarify that what is happening on Friday is not a slam.
Right.
It's our main stage series, which is a very, very different thing. But the slam series, which is the open mic night, Jen Hickson, who has been working on that for, you know, gosh, probably like 10 or 15 years now. She's been with it a long time. Along with the rest of the team, you know, just spend some time really thinking of topics that basically like open up to a really broad range of stories. So the idea is to pick something that really gives you something to focus on, so you have an idea of where to begin, but also is big enough that if you've got a really strong, compelling story, there's a way to tell it so it works with the theme. So they all tend to be things like scars is a good one. You know, firsts is another one. You know, Grand Slam themes, we've used things like fight or flight or into the wild, I remember being a particularly fun one. You know, so it's something that gives you a place to start, but also opens things up and lets things go in a bunch of different directions.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Maggie Sino. She is the director of The Moth, and Peter Aguero, who will be hosting Friday night's event in Iowa City, The Moth on Stage. He is also a Moth Grand Slam champion and instructor for the Moth Shop Community Education Program. And again, The Moth will be on stage at the Englert Theater in Iowa City Friday night. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about The Moth. The Moth Radio Hour, of course, is familiar to Iowa Public Radio listeners and public radio listeners everywhere. We play it Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock, an hour of true stories told live. Now, before those stories make it to the show, they're told on the stage. And before they make it to those stages, often they are told at Story Slam events that are hosted by The Moth. With me this hour is Maggie Sino. She is the director of The Moth. Peter Aguero will be the host of Friday's event. He's also a Moth Grand Slam champion and instructor for the Moth Shop Community Education Program. And, all right, we've talked quite a bit about these Story Slams. I know that you have regular Story Slams in a number of cities. We've talked about New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. You have them in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and a few other places. What are the other ways that people can get involved? Because, of course, not every great storyteller lives in one of those cities. Maggie?
Yeah, absolutely. The Story Slam series is a really rich resource for the main stage series, but it also exists in its own right, and the communities there are very strong, and you know, there's a lot of slammers who just really love the competition and love the 5-minute form. And our radio show, I think if people who are familiar with it will know that we often feature stories directly from the slam series on the radio hour. You know, it's just a really fun and exciting thing. Our main stage series is a little bit different, for a couple of reasons. One is the stories are all longer, so they're 10 minutes instead of 5, and the main stage series is curated in a way that the slam series aren't. The slam series are very much like, hey, you know, we're down at this venue on the corner, come down, throw your hat in, like, you know, see how the wind blows. And the main stage series is something that we, you know, that we as a team just consider more carefully and curate more carefully. And there's a theme for the main stage series, exactly the way there is for the slams. And it follows about the same principles, which is, you know, we want it to be something that gives everyone a place to start from, but still opens itself up to a really broad range of interesting stories. And we find people for the main stage in a whole bunch of different ways. You know, one of them is from our slam community. You know, sometimes people have a story that's just too big to tell in 5 minutes. You know, and we love to, you know, use the resources of our community. We also have a pitch line, which people don't know about, but actually if you go to themoth.org, tell a story, you'll see the number or the way to pitch, leave us a 2-minute pitch for your story. And that is also a huge resource for us. We've actually got somebody coming up for the show on Friday who we found on the pitch line with a really amazing story. You know, a lot of recent favorite stories have come from there. You know, stories also come a lot like through the grapevine, just through the community, where someone will say, oh my God, you really need to talk to my doctor. He's got this crazy story that he tells about the time he was flown to India to save Mother Teresa's life. And we call that guy up and it turns out like, wow, that story is amazing. And then that gets moved to the main stage. You know, sometimes we find a storyteller who just is rich and whose life like has a couple different stories that are strong and powerful. Peter's actually told at least two on our main stage. So that's what happens. You know, sometimes we're fortunate enough that people who are already out in the world and have a bit of a name for themselves come to us, or sometimes we hear that they have an interesting story and, you know, we go to them and ask if they'd be willing to tell it with us. It's really a range of, you know, it's really a range. People come to us in basically like every possible way, but if there's somebody out there listening who's like, I definitely have a story that I would like to tell, I would strongly suggest that they go call the pitch line, because we listen to all those pitches and take that very seriously.
We have an email from Adam in Iowa City, and he's asking a question that I'm sure you get a lot. He says, I'm curious if it's possible to host Moth Slams here in Iowa City, and how would one go about it?
Well, we're right now in an awesome period with the Slam expansion, you know, where we're going from city to city. It's very much something that we're interested in, and, you know, it's great to know that there's interest in the area. You know, there's a bunch of different considerations and reasons for this. We really want to have a strong relationship with the area, because it is something where, like, we sit down in a city and we have made, like, a huge commitment to that city. You know, and it's something that, because we listen to every story from all of the slams for consideration on the radio, that we, you know, that we just, that we take really seriously. But, yeah, he should definitely send us an email, let us know that he's interested. And that's, you know, all that, you know, we really take into consideration the feedback we get from the community at large. So if he's interested, he should definitely drop a line to info@themoth.org and let us know.
And Peter, I've been mentioning that you're an instructor with the Moth Shop Community Education Program. What is that?
Well, that's an amazing program where we go to underserved communities within the five boroughs of New York City. Could be drug rehab centers or senior centers or AIDS groups, or now there's more high schools involved as well with the High School Slam program, which is a kind of a different program but still related. And we go into these communities, and we work for 8 to 10 weeks with a group of people and help them find stories in their life, help them take those stories and craft those stories. So by the end, they have a show that they do for their community, telling their stories. And sometimes those shows, those stories end up, you know, we do a showcase, Moth Shop showcase, I think twice a year. And those stories are amazing, because these are people that definitely wouldn't have found the moth on their own, generally. And these are stories that would be lost otherwise. And it's this really great kind of collage of so many different stories throughout New York City. A lot of times we get great stories of particularly, you know, New York that used to exist. You know, somebody telling a great story of, I remember one guy telling a story in a workshop on the Lower East Side about trying to go to a Led Zeppelin concert at Madison Square Garden in the late 70s, and just what that was like, the experience of you know, a place that doesn't exist anymore. And we get these just amazing stories from people that, like I said, wouldn't have volunteered to get up and tell a story, but in the end the stories are fantastic. They're just they're pure, just really pure stories. And it's a great experience as an instructor to kind of see a story from its absolute birth to some semblance of a finished product by the end, and what the kind of journey that the storyteller themselves goes through as they learn not just about the story, but you learn a lot about yourself. And as the instructor, you learn about yourself a lot too by how you teach the story and how you help to edit the story. It's an amazing process. It's just great.
Now, when people win Grand Slam events or come to you over the pitch line or are recruited because you've heard they have a great story, and again, you also include professional actors and actresses sometimes, and I'm sure that there's some recruiting that goes on there. But Maggie, when you get in touch with these people, when you hear the story or see it performed, before they could be a part of the main stage event or be on the radio, mm-hmm. what kind of coaching process is there?
Yeah, well, yes. You know, and when we're looking ahead to casting the shows, one of the things we always look for is to make sure that the show feels really balanced. So, I mean, it was a little joke where a coworker wrote to me and she was just like, oh, there's a really great storyteller, but I can't put him in the show because we'll have two murders. Like, you know, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, the behind the scenes things that go on, but we try to really like get a range of, you know, a range of stories out there. So we try to have like funny ones and we try to have sad ones and we try to have, you know, people who are different ages and different backgrounds and different points of view. And we try to make sure that you're not kind of like slamming you with too much of the same kind of story. So it's really a range. So each night is really a broad swath of human experience. And a lot of what the role of the director of the show is, is basically to, you know, not altogether dissimilar of what happens in Moth Shop, but it's to really like hear the story out and then to work with the person to make sure they're really saying what they want to say and that they're saying it in the way that is most true to them. So the job is also, asking them questions to just draw out parts of the story that are obvious, seem a little obvious, where it's like, I was wondering about this part, and then they, you know, incorporate a bit that makes the story a little more clear. It's helping decide, like, where does the story exactly start? Where does the story exactly end? It's providing some support to the person because, like you said, it's a hugely emotional process. So it's just being there for somebody as they kind of help organize their thoughts and, you know, let them know that this is a safe place for them to talk. And it's really, you know, it's just all of those things. We really love our storytellers, and the thing we want most in the world is that they are heard and that they feel good about what they do, and we just try to provide the resources to them so they're able to do that. And that's what that process is about. But yes, we get very close to people as they work on their main stage material for sure.
Well, and obviously,
through that process as a storyteller, I can tell you that it's amazing because the Moth directors do an amazing job of helping you put your story within the context of your life, and they ask the right questions that you wouldn't have thought yourself, you know, and help you with that from 5 minutes to 10-minute format. It allows you to expand to what the greater meaning of your story is. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, safe, wonderful process working with the directors of the Moth. They're just amazing.
Do you ever worry, Maggie, about interfering too much or over-rehearsing somebody?
There's always a little bit of a delicate line with it. I mean, Jim, I think, very accurately said that there is a point where where definitely you can overthink it. And the goal is to just work with somebody to be very clear about what it is that they want to say and to provide enough information and enough structure so that when you get up to the mic and you maybe feel a wash of nerves, you don't get lost. Like, you know where to start and you know where the story is going. But to also leave an amount of room and let it breathe and let new discoveries come up. Because the great thing about storytelling is it's always about the present tense. It's always about the moment that the story is being told. And so just by definition, the story is going to be a little bit different each time, even if it's material that someone has worked with before. Because it's really always about the storyteller in the moment and their relationship to what happened to them in that specific moment that they're standing on stage. And the goal is to leave enough room so each telling of it can involve some new discoveries.
I want to take a moment before we run out of time to play a little bit of another story. This is a storyteller, Wendy Sparrow, telling her story, Stranger Bonding. And she starts by explaining that she had been invited to the wedding of a college classmate, somebody she didn't know very well, but she decided to go. She was seated at a table at the reception with other people who she assumed were not terribly close to the bride or groom. And let's listen to some of the story.
Across from me, right, is this very good-looking blonde guy with fabulous dimples, about 23 years old. And he is seated next to this equally good-looking guy with equally Nordic coloring, about the same age. And I notice that the two start to snuggle and kiss. And I am pleased because they make this excruciatingly gorgeous couple. But within minutes, the hugging and kissing devolves, right, into public displays of affection from another universe. They are literally, like, entwined. They are licking dressing off each other's palm. They are tickling one another's neck and armpits with arugula. Swear to God. And we're all like, huh, and we're trying to like chat and eat normally, but it's impossible to focus on anything other than the PDA. And in an effort to break the madness, this 40-ish woman sitting next to me turns to them and is like, so how do you guys know Rob and Jane? Cousins, said the dimple guy. Oh, how nice. So you are the cousin? We are the cousins. Silence. Intense silence. So clarification is desperately needed. So I take it upon myself to add, so that makes you guys also cousins to each other. No, no, says the other guy. Massive sigh of relief. We're twins, he continues. We are Jane's cousins. And I just think, it does not get better than this. But then it did, because as I look around at the other members of this fabulous Table 31, I feel instant camaraderie. And when the woman next to me excuses herself to go to the bathroom, it was like understood that the rest of us would follow.
A story told by Wendy Sparrow called Stranger Bonding. And we have just a moment left. We've been talking about the Moth this hour, the Moth Radio Hour, the Moth Main Stage, and the many Moth programs. And Maggie, last week I was talking to another storyteller, Kevin Kling, and he was saying that with the Moth and many other venues, he feels like this is really kind of a golden age for storytelling in the United States. How do you feel about the role of storytelling in our culture right now?
I think it's awesome. I mean, I think it's great that it is. I mean, I think it's great that we live in a time where a couple of things, you know, where it's okay to be so vulnerable and available about who you really are. I think it's one of the great things I think about like our culture now is that because of the, I think that there's two things kind of ironically working here. Let me sort of get my thoughts together, which is like, you know, one of the kind of great things about living in this internet culture and living in this world where we can talk to each other so easily is that there is, I think, such a sense of acceptance of people's individuality and such a hunger really to get to know all the other people in the world and get to know their individual experiences and get to know what they've been through and how they got to the other side of it, you know. And then there's the other thing where, again, like, you know, because there's so much available and so many electronic ways to get in touch with each other and so many ways to be facile with it, there's also a hunger for being able to take some time and being able to listen and being able to go deep. And I think storytelling's huge popularity now is just amazing, and we're very honored to be able to do our part to facilitate it and bring it out.
Maggie, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
And Peter, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Maggie Sino is director of The Moth, and Peter Aguero will be hosting the event in Iowa City on Friday night, The Moth on Stage.